Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Picture it now, running out of the tunnel in New Orleans. Speaking of him, Nick Sirianni is going to be doing his weekly press conference coming up. We'll bring that to you in just a little bit. 215-592-9494. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio. It is the midday show. And Hugh, we're watching a great defense here. A great defense that is not a luxury, that is truly a necessity.
They're playing well.
Oh, come on. This is the stock answer.
I don't know what else you want me to say. They're playing well. I mean, you know.
Say it's a necessity. That's what we want you to say.
They're playing well.
No.
They are.
We know that. Thank you.
No,
they're playing well.
They're playing well.
This is beyond well. They've been the best defense in the sport for 2.5 months.
Extremely well.
They have taken Matt Stafford and made him look ordinary. They took Lamar Jackson and made him look ordinary. They took Russell Wilson, and he kind of is ordinary at this point, but they made him look even more ordinary.
Extremely well.
They took Joe Burrow, who's probably been the best statistical quarterback in the league this year. Made him look ordinary.
Yeah. You know, Joe was complaining about the fact that they broke into his house. But, dog, listen, I don't, like, because that's bad business, you know, taking something that anybody else has,
sure,
bad business.
Course,
you know, I've been, you know, a victim of theft myself. But, dog, when you buy a $3 million vehicle, I mean, you know what I mean? And it's posted all over the place. I mean, let's be honest, that's kind of a red flag. They know you got bread. Now they trying to, you know what I mean?
See, you know, this is deflecting away from the defense.
A little bit.
This is deflecting.
No, but no. But y'all didn't. Wait a minute. I'm not filibustering, but this is
you
pretty.
Are.
You know, remember, because a couple weeks ago.
No.
Remember, he bought, like I was talking about, the Batmobile.
Yes, I know.
He bought a Batmobile. Yeah. He bought the Batmobile for $3 million.
He bought one. You're saying he brought it on himself.
Yeah. Well, that's a little harsh. that's a little harsh.
I'm just saying, though,
when it's advertised that, you know what I mean, you just bought a $3 million car. And they break into your crib. I mean, come on, man. You can't, you know what I mean? You got to tone that thing down just a little bit.
Of all the Douglas filibusters over the months, this might be the craziest one. Hey, the Eagles defense might be the best they've ever had. Yeah, but you know what? Joe Burrow got his house broken into.
Yeah.
How about that?
Like, no, it's called a pivot. That's not a filibuster. That's just a pivot.
It's a filibuster.
It's a pivot.
A filibuster is a legal pivot.
You didn't find it interesting? He bought a three.
Ew.
He bought a tumbler.
What about the defense?
It's like a fully functional tumbler. Do you know how cool that is?
It's awesome.
It's freaking awesome.
We all know it's awesome. You know what else is awesome? The Eagles shutting him down.
Does
Cincinnati.
It have blinkers? You think it got blinkers?
You don't need blinkers. You're driving that thing.
No, you just get out the way.
215-592-9494. Is this the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? We've had some people out there that have been pushed back on the 91 defense. Look, that was a great defense. I was very young then. I can't give you a chapter and verse on that defense. I know the stats. They had 3 all pros. They had 2 second team all pros. They were a great defense. And if Randall doesn't get hurt, maybe they win a Super Bowl. But when I'm thinking of great Eagles defense, I think of 0-2 with Doc and obviously Hugh with 12.5 sacks, though, you know, a lot of gets bad quarterback.
Tomato.
12 and a half sacks. Great defense. 0-4. Great defense. So you guys were trending a little bit older at that point. 17. Good enough to win the Super Bowl. 22. 70 sacks. It was great. I just watch how this thing's coming together here, and they get better week by week by week. They're the best defense in the NFL right now. They're good in almost every area. It's the best Eagles defense I've ever seen. 215-592-9494. What do you come down on that? Is it the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? And if you want to comment on the Jake Glazer report we brought to you a little while ago, where he said BG and Big Dom went to Jalen Hurts' house during the bye week and told him to connect more. Wasn't that the story we got last year, that he needed to connect more?
Yeah, that was a little bit. I was saying that he's not interacting with his teammates as much as he once did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. I mean, as long as it worked. But it's kind of bizarre that then BG said it was lies or whatever. I mean, why would Jake Glazer make that story up now?
I don't know.
What is the point?
I think this. I think that, and I'm not calling BG a liar, because you got to be very careful in this situation, because the way it's presented, you don't want to make it seem like, you know, you're calling somebody a liar. But I feel like at this point, BG's name has been said in the paper so much, and it's been circulated with, I'm not going to say negativity, but just the rally cry.
Yeah.
That he's probably trying to distance himself as much as he possibly can from any kind of controversy. So that's probably why I say what he did, because he said LOL.
This is an overcompensation.
Maybe a little bit, to be out of the news.
I feel that. You could just ignore it, though. I mean,
the unfortunate thing about this day and age that we live in, even if you ignore it, it gives it life.
So, okay. Now, the next time BG talks, which I'm not sure when that is, obviously he's not playing right now, he's injured, he might be asked about this, and then he could explain it further, like, hey, we hung out, but like it wasn't really like that, or no, that never, like he could explain it. When you just comment lies, I don't know, it's like adding more fuel to the fire, because then people will see that comment, and actually it will make the original thing bigger.
Because the bottom line is this. Say, for instance, he didn't go to Jalen's house. Maybe they came to the NovaCare complex.
Right, that's what I mean by details. Yeah.
And maybe they Dom was there and they talked about it. So it's not, you know, when you say it like that, it just kind of adds air to it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Maybe they met at a Wendy's. By the way, thanks to our friends at Wendy's for all the amazing food. They brought us a lot today. Everything.
Yes, they did.
The new mushroom bacon cheeseburger, chicken sandwiches, fries, and the new salted caramel frosty, which is rising up my frosty rankings. I doubted it.
That's not bad, man.
It goes well with the fries.
Trying to tell you.
You were right. I mean, Kyle was right on this one. Try Wendy's new mushroom bacon cheeseburger today. Roasted mushrooms, crispy bacon, Munster cheese, and a creamy garlic spread on Wendy's fresh, never frozen beef for some mushroomy, bacony goodness. Gotta be Wendy's. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we'll give you some new math that was uncovered on the race for the number one seed. Brand new math that actually is important to note as we go into this weekend. Clay in Kansas City. What's up, Clay?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Clay?
So I am, unfortunately, I'm old, so I do remember that 91 defense. I was hoping Seth would be on. He was one of my favorite Eagles. Sad part about that 91 defense, man, they did hold the Oilers to 6 points in the House of Pain. That was that Chuck and Duck offense, if anybody remembers that. Ben Smith, I believe, was like, he's our Tony Coniglieri to go way back. I know I'm going way back there.
Oh, I know that name. Yeah, of course. Tony Coniglieri had took the baseball to the face, and you never played it, never the same again.
Yes, Ben Smith was our Quinyon Mitchell when they took him. I think it was in the 20th pick, maybe, out of Georgia in 90. And they didn't, and I'll tell you something. One more thing about that 91 team. They didn't even go to the playoffs. They did not even go to the playoffs. So, I would say the 91 defense, but I want to say a couple things. First of all, you really can't compare 91 to today just because of the style. First of all, Andre Waters would have been thrown out of the league in the first half of a game if he played today. Okay, God rest his soul. You can't put your hands on the wide receivers now. You could back then. And the one guy that was making the comment about the running back getting out and catching passes, in that 46 defense, they had to keep the running back in to block. So, I mean, it's really hard to compare. I want to ask you one question, though. Did you give up on the Thundercats too early? Because you were making that reference all offseason.
No, not at all. I still like these kids, man. I still like them. No, I haven't given up on them.
I think he just got overshadowed, Clay, because he decided defense didn't matter anymore. But he is a Thundercats fan. I mean, that's true. I mean, he was on the Georgia kids.
I know they're
all
making a live action movie, Thundercats.
They're just so athletic. I mean, the thing about it is they're so athletic. I mean, if you watch that you watch the pass rushers. That Nolan Smith, he engages, he disengages, and then he gets low and gets underneath the blocker. I mean, you know, I tell you right now, Haason Reddick is probably watching this team thinking, what did I do?
Mm.
You know, I mean, and I feel sorry for him in that situation. But and maybe Bryce Huff can come in and be an asset here. You know, a couple more things. Just, you know, nobody's talking about, man, Cam Jurgens is really playing well. If you will look at the tape, man, he is playing well. And N'Kobe Dean, oh, my goodness, his ability to see it, and the defensive line are keeping the blockers off of those guys, and, boy, they are getting to the ball, and everybody tackles. So they have the capacity to be the best defense ever. They're on that road. I wouldn't say it yet. I will agree with you. If they win the Super Bowl, I'm all in on this defense being the best defense ever, surpassing that 91 defense.
I love it, Clay.
You guys have a great day.
You too, buddy. Appreciate it. So Clay brought something to our attention, and this is going to probably upset people that love the 91 defense. Do we have to subtract a little bit that they didn't make the playoffs? I'm not saying it was their fault, but they never even got to play in a playoff game. Like the Eagles defense in 2017 that Hugh chose, they weren't great, but they did hold two opponents down in the playoffs. That adds to their legacy. And then the BG strip sack in the Super Bowl. Can you be the best Eagles offense or defense ever without a playoff game?
See, that's what I'm saying. It all depends on what your criteria is.
Mm.
And that's the tough thing about it, man. But the bottom line is this. We all have defenses that we remember for whatever reason and we gravitate towards.
Yeah.
It's just for me, when you talk about the greatest defense of all time, I don't think that could be said without talking about the team that won the Super Bowl, because regardless of what the numbers look like, they were good enough during the course of that season, number one, to put their team in the playoff hunt and to win enough games to warrant them going to the Super Bowl and then actually winning the game.
Well, and to be fair, if you go to if you just think about the Super Bowl, the two most famous plays, one is obviously the Philly special, but the second most famous play of the game is the Brandon Graham strip sack of Tom Brady. All right, let's get to Nick Sirianni. Is he coming up at the podium here?
I brought to the table working with Jalen this year.
Yeah, I think he's an outstanding coach who's played the position and at a very high level, you know, in the NFL and big time college football, and so. You know, Doug's been a great coach for a long time too, in college and in professional football. Coached a lot of good players. Has been a coordinator. So, you know, again, I just think he's done a really nice job of you know, coaching Jalen and coaching the other guys. And I think he's fit in really well with our staff. And obviously, him and Kellen have a prior relationship. And yeah, really, really pumped that he's on our staff, because I think he's a heck of a football coach, heck of a person, and he's doing a great job.
Specifically, where he's made a difference with Jalen.
Yeah, I think you know. Again, when our players perform well, all that credit goes to the players. But you know, the coaches are behind the scenes, helping those guys out and trying to help them play to the best of their abilities. And so, of course, you know, I wouldn't say I'm not going to get into the specifics of what that is. But you know, but Doug's just a really good coach, consistently focused on the details of his drop, of the fundamentals of how to play and throw, and the drop, the footwork that goes along with it. So all those things, and he's just, I think, you know, Doug's just a bulldog and is always, you know, all right, here, now anytime there's a issue or a mistake, you know, he's going to be in it, or a footwork mistake, he's going to be on it. And I know that's something they've talked a lot about.
Relation to the staff, and maybe a little early to talk about this, but the Jets interviewing for their GM position, maybe think about it. I mean, you guys are playing well enough, some teams may inquire about some people on your staff, your coordinators. Given the history of that, how have you kind of approached that, or, you know, to know that there's dialogue open, clarity, and, you know, kind of succession plans in order?
Yeah, you know, again, we've been through that before. You know, you're constantly trying to develop the guys that aren't the coordinators to be able to step into those roles. You know, if that were something that would be called upon, and your eyes always out for, you know, other guys that could be, you know, in play for that as well. You know, again, we get to that, and, you know, you always have to focus on, I know I always say, hey, focus on the time being, where you are, all these things, but there are things that you do have to focus on and think about, in which case some of those things happen. And so, yeah, that's something that's I wouldn't say is on my mind heavy right now, but, you know, we always, you know, going into the year, as the year progresses, you have plans on what you think you might do if those things happen.
Your defense has the lowest blitz rate in the NFL, and yes, it's number one,
From an offensive minded coach's point of view, what does it, you know, how does it affect you when a defense doesn't blitz a lot?
And is able to be as productive? Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, you know, advantage as far as our defense. I mean, I think what happens when you blitz are some things that happen. Again, there's many different ways to be successful, you know, as a defense. You know, if you look at all the defenses that have been top five, I mean, they're all going to have their different styles. One thing as an offense that you think about when a team blitzes is there's one less guy to tackle your skill players if you are passing in that particular case, you know, once you get the ball in their hands. And I think back to, you know, our Green Bay game, they brought a pressure, you know, the guy missed the tackle and then there was less people there to chase down AJ. And then also same thing, you know, as a run game, after you get through that first level, there's different blitzes that after you get through that first level, you know, you can really, there's one less guy to tackle when you do that. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we've been really good at stopping explosive plays as a defense. You know, that's part of it. And we've done a good job there of tackling and, you know, and playing different coverages in the secondary. So, you know, many different reasons, a lot of different ways to be successful. Our defense has been playing really good so far.
When you have a sustained stretch,
I was looking at you
of success. Do you have to handle things differently when it comes to corrections? When you have this,
say that one more time.
When you have a sustained stretch of success, do you have to change your messaging at all when it comes to corrections? Do you have to tweak things?
No, I think, when you are making corrections, the tape is very black and white, right? I mean, as far as either I didn't do my job or I did do my job. That's as a player, that's as a coach. And so, and our job, things that we focus so much on as coaches is to paint the picture very clear so that the job requirement is very clear, right? And so what, you know, showing them different looks, different pictures, different things like that. Hey, here's a job requirement on this. And when you meet the standard, whether that's in situational football, whether that's on a play design, whether it's on a play design versus a certain look, offensively or defensively, when you meet the standard, you point it out and say, hey, this is really good. When you don't meet the standard, you correct it. I think that's something that you do no matter what. I know that sometimes you can even be harder on guys after wins and through stretches there because you're constantly trying to – everyone's trying to get better. So nothing really changes. Again, it's kind of our core value as far as accountability. You know, our job as coaches is to be very clear and to do the things that we need to do. And then their job as players is to, you know, to live up to that standard. And so we talk about that, and our corrections to the coaches and players are the same off of that.
You didn't face Marshawn Lattimore the first time with Washington. You did with New Orleans. But has that changed up after what you saw, expanding their coverages and changing up the coverages?
Yeah, you know, it's been one game with him in there. He's a really good football player. We've played against him in the past with our games against the Saints, but really outstanding football player. Probably a little bit too little of film to be able to say, hey, you know, because again, there's just been one game and you can see different things, but yeah, he's a really good player that would allow him to do different things like that because of how good he's played in the, you know, as a pro. So we'll have to be ready for him, and this is a good defense we're going against.
You spoke Monday about player development. How do you do that during the season when so much of the week is game plan specific? And what's Barwin's player development program kind of behind the scenes for you guys?
Yeah, little things that we do extra, again, not getting too much into that, but there's, we talk about having meetings with just the scout team players to prep them for practice, specifically on their jobs for that, so we get good looks as an offense. Well, a product of that, too, or as a defense or in an offense, a product of that is you're spending extra time with them, you know, coaching those guys up. And then we always try to find extra time at the end of the week where they're just, you know, because when you go and you watch the offensive tape, after practice or the defensive tape. You're watching, you know, your plays. You're not going back sometimes in the film room and showing the scout team. So we're finding extra time to be able to do that with those guys as coaches, you know, and then extra periods that we have. What, you know, we always have extra walkthrough periods with it's just with just developmental guys. We always have, you know, extra periods at the end of the week, 7-on-7, 1-on-1s, different things like that with just the developmental guys and individual periods that are just specialized with them. And again, just trying to, you know, pay them a lot, you know, get, you know, continue to develop the guys that aren't necessarily playing. I think what Connor does, he does a good job of, you know, spending that extra time with these guys as well. You know, grading the tape and in different ways, maybe that different, little differently than the coaches look at it. But again, you're trying to develop guys as much as you can. Again, going back, recruit, retain, develop. You know, that's something that has been stuck in my mind for a long time, just with what I was taught, recruit, retain, develop, and Howie and his guys have done a great job of getting guys in here. And, you know, and then our job as coaches is to develop them. And that's not just, you know, just as coaches, but, you know, through all the different departments we have in this building, you know, Bob and his staff developing them, how to talk to you guys, how, you know, and so everybody has a little piece of that. As far as how we develop, it's a truly an organizational, cool thing about an organizational process.
Vic said earlier in the season that he's up in the booth because he likes to spread out, have notes. I know all coaches.
And it's cold at this time of year.
Yeah, that too. And he could be on the camera whenever that is. But the, all you coach is being prepared in your own ways. But that and other ways, how have you seen him and his thoroughness? It seems like in some ways there are, he takes it to another level.
Yeah. I just always see him pushing ways to get better and pushing ways. I mean, he's always watching tape. He's always, you know, if he's not in the staff room watching tape with the guys or his staff, you know, the defensive staff, he's in his room grinding out on tape and looking for anything that can give us an advantage, right? He's, and again, anything that can give him an advantage to call the game, anything that can give our guys an advantage to, you know, to play the game. And so you really admire that because he's, you know, putting the guys in positions to succeed and also just trying to give them every little nugget. I really respect the way he grinds and goes about his business.
Two more, please.
In the 5 weeks since you last played the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, what have you seen from him specifically as far as, you know, where they are this year and how well he's been?
Yeah, he's super dynamic. Man, he's a good passer. You know, he's outstanding with the ball in his hands and creating. Got a lot of respect for him. And then, you know, we'll have to play him for a couple times a year for a long time. And so just got, again, I just continue to see him get better, you know, as he sees different looks and different things like that. And I think they're doing a great job with him as coaches over there as well and adapting the offense around him.
What did you think of Jalen's outfit the other night?
He's always got really cool outfits on. I wish I could pull those off.
All right. Thank you.
There he goes. Nick Sirianni there, his weekly press conference. Or a couple things. A couple things that stood out. Number one, Hugh, he didn't commit, but he also didn't make it seem like it was impossible for Bryce Huff to play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The 21-day practice window is open, as we mentioned. So we'll keep an eye on that. Did I miss an update on Landon Dickerson? Did anyone ask about Landon Dickerson?
Doesn't seem like it.
I unless I missed it, I didn't hear that. And that's what I wanted to hear because he came out of that game, didn't come back in on Sunday.
Must be fine then, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but what was the verbiage he used on Monday? Monday he was asked about it, and he said, we'll see, and we'll tell you more on Wednesday. Now, look, I think, Hugh, if it was a really big deal, it would have leaked out.
He would have addressed it, yeah.
Yeah, but it also, we'll see about if he plays this weekend. We'll get more on that. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop right over. We got What If Wednesday. We got on the other side. And we will get into a bit of a snag in the Eagles' pursuit of the one seed coming up. We talked about that. We didn't get a chance to go over the math on it. But there's new math now. It's not complicated. It just changes the equation here. And the spoiler, we may need Hughes Bears. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. What If Wednesday next, your phone calls. Is this the best Eagles defense you have ever seen? This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We'll be right back. when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we saying goodbye here?
Why do I feel like this has something to do with me?
It actually does. I think this is about Kyle. This is about Kyle. All right, welcome back to the show.
Okay.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio.
A little nervous over here.
Well, we could, but there is actually something to be nervous about, but this is not about you. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard. So, a little Amazing Grace here. I think Kyle is ready to say goodbye to the one seed. Hugh, we got a new wrinkle on this. So we know the scenario, right? We need the Vikings and the Lions to lose a game, and the Eagles went out, and then, of course, the Eagles could be the number one seed. That's what we've been told, and that's what we've been going off of since Sunday, right? That's very simple. Eagles, Lions, and Vikings each lose a game, Hugh, and then we get ourselves the number one seed if we went out. But there's another element to this now, Hugh. You ready for this?
I'm listening.
It matters when they lose. Let me play it out for you. Let's say the Vikings drop one of their next two. They're in Seattle. They host Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the Lions win their next two, and they're favored in their next two games. They play Chicago. Leave your Bears take on hold for a second. Mm-hmm. They play Chicago. They play San Francisco. Technically, before we got this new news I'm about to bring to you, if Minnesota had then beat Detroit the last week, well, that would have taken care of, right? Each team would have lost the game.
Yes.
But here's the wrinkle that no one had brought up until I saw this last night. If it plays out the way I just said, Minnesota drops one of their next two, Detroit wins their next two. Guess what is over before week 18?
The number one seed?
The division.
Oh, the division's over.
So Detroit will have clinched the division, which means, if you think about it logically, why would Minnesota play their players in week 18? They have to play They're going to play a wild card game the next week anyway. So they basically then just lay down, play their backups. The Lions would roll to the win and get the number one seed. We need the Lions to lose one of their next two games. That really is the path. We need a loss to the Bears or the 49ers. Otherwise, this thing is probably not going to work out the way we want it to.
So you're with me now. So y'all okay, wait a minute.
Before you,
y'all need to apologize.
No.
For ridiculing me yesterday. For me, basically working myself into a tizzy to back the Bears, and y'all laughed at me.
That's still a major problem.
We want you to be right on this, but your take was it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. You got to believe it. I believe in speaking stuff into existence, and you have to believe it. We were almost there until I got Eberflused. Got Eberflused. 30 seconds left on the clock. Yeah. Eberflused.
That's your fault for not factoring in the flusing, though.
Yeah. The flusing. You got to factor the flusing
in. You got flused on national TV.
The dream is dead. That's why I'm playing this music.
You're giving up hope on the one seed?
Yeah, it's over.
No, did you hear what Caleb Williams says? He said, it's disappointing, but it's yet exciting. They haven't given up.
Yes, they have.
He was laying on the bench on Monday.
Are you kidding me?
No, he was, because he knew that fight was over before it even
got started. They might be one of the worst like body language teams I've ever seen. No, it doesn't.
Springs Eternal.
It doesn't. If you watch them in that game against the Vikings, every time, they got them into a few like third and 14s, gave them up every time, and you just saw Bears players in the secondary just putting their hands up. You're like, this thing is over.
There's a good chance they're on vacation. They're getting ready to go. But let me
tell you.
Feels like they quit.
The rallying cry is to be spoiler. Be a spoiler.
They don't care.
In this situation.
They're ready to not get injured and go home.
That's not there yet. That's the last week of the season.
No.
You play not to get injured the last week of the season. Trust me on this. I've been in that situation.
Hugh's like, lived this life.
slow down, player. Why are you playing so hard? Yeah. Slow down, player. You ain't going so hard.
I mean, our hopes are in the Chicago Bears.
And the 49ers.
And the Niners, who may not have anything to play for their week.
Well, that's the other element of this. Unless you're
49ers might pull it off.
All right, so here's the deal. Since you got flused on Thanksgiving, Hugh. Bears have been outscored 68-30. All right, so 68-25. 68-25. And you're trying to sit here telling me they're going to pull off an upset on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. If that doesn't work out, our next hope is the Niners next week. Now, they could be alive and playing for a lot, or they also could be eliminated. And in that case, I'm not as optimistic. So I'm not quite where Kyle is. I haven't given up on the dream of the one. Mm. It's become more complicated, and I wish I had any faith in your Bears, Hugh. I mean,
this is what usually happens when you don't control your destiny. Mm. I mean, it's okay. You know, you went out there, and you did everything that you could, but it's a lot of stuff that has to happen. And it starts with the Chicago Bears.
You can't even say it with a straight face. They stink.
I'm saying it. It starts with the Chicago Bears, man. I wish I knew somebody at the Bears and be like, yo, dog, y'all got to get this done this weekend.
The sad thing is there's no There's no other lever for them to pull that gives them a spark.
Chicago, you mean?
Yeah, the firing of the head coach.
There's no lever to pull. Yeah.
Well, there's not. Like, you know, you might
pride.
Get a... Stop it.
Pride!
There's no pride there. They might get a little bit of a boost for 1 week when they have the interim head coach.
Yep.
Or even, like, they're not going to bench Caleb Williams, so that's not a spark really for them either. It's over.
The interim head coach might be worse, actually.
Yeah.
They've been getting crushed.
So the sooner you guys break over to the other side and get with me on this, I think the better it'll be for your...
No, I refuse, man. I'm going to go ahead and put this last $5 on the Bears. Pull this thing off.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, this
I'm going to put it on the money line.
It's real money. It's real
money line.
Real American
money. I'm going to do it.
All right.
No, I probably won't do that.
Yeah.
I probably put $1 on it. I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
There's nothing like a whole dollar bet on the money line in an NFL game.
On the money line, baby.
All right, 215-592-9494. So that's the scenario. We really need Detroit to lose before the final game. If they win their next two, Minnesota drops one of the next two, the North is over, which obviously means Minnesota's not going to play in that last game. They're going to rest their starters, their quarterback, Justin Jefferson, blah, blah, blah. And Detroit's just going to roll in that final game and take the one seed. So we need Detroit to lose soon, like this weekend, to the Bears, which only Hugh believes will happen, or the Niners next week, which is
It can happen.
A little more plausible. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, we're going to get to a what if. We got an interesting what if Wednesday cooked up for in a few minutes. First, let's go back to the phone lines here. And how about the poll today? This caught my attention because this is split right down the middle. Is this the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? 52% no. 48% yes. 52% no. 48% yes.
That's not split down the middle.
It was 50-50 a few minutes ago.
No, not now.
Well, 52-48 is pretty close to the middle.
No, but when I said it's not close, yeah, but when you said it's close.
Well, hold on. When they do the poll, you know, the polling every 4 years, national polling, like the presidential election, all that.
Yeah.
They do like a 3 or 4% margin of error. Like if it's
okay, so that's what it is.
Yeah, so if it's within 3 or 4%,
I give you that.
It could go either way.
I give you that spin doctor. You the spin doctor today, though, but it's cool.
Well, because I'm not winning right now. Will in the Northeast, what's up, Will?
Hello,
Will.
What's up, Will?
How y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up, buddy?
Oh man, ain't nothing, Dream Team. Listen, man, I see a lot of similarity to when Jim Johnson was coaching, man. Like, he got everybody, he will let up real quick. He got everybody on deck, man. And, like, these guys is really tuned in, man. And I just think, like, this is a great defense, man. I'm not going to say it's the best, but it's right next to it, man. If you and them number one, then they'll be number two, man, because these young boys, and that's real quick, Hugh. Come on, you gotta rock with the Thundercats, man. Come on, baby.
Come on, you.
Wait a minute, when did I stop?
Well, you started to tell everyone it didn't matter. It was a luxury.
Wait a minute, defense is not a it's a luxury, not a necessity. It was. What do you think? I'm not going out without a fight.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
They're the best defense in the league.
I still like them, but nah, I mean, they're playing well.
You think this team will be 12-2 with just an ordinary defense?
They're playing well.
Yeah, but what a cop-out over here. This guy is ridiculous.
But I just want to say, man, I think Sunday, I think we need to bring, like, the same type of energy. But I think they studied them tapes very well, man. And they're going to come with something different, and they're going to look for something different from us, man. So let us be on point with that. Let us, you know, have a different plan than the last time we played them. But, you know, put a little bit of the old in there. And let's get another win, man.
Let's do it, Will. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's interesting. This the second time facing the Commanders here, when we had Seth on, the way he framed it is it'll be more of a challenge. And Jaden Daniels looks healthier. Because last time we faced them, it was that short week game. And
yeah,
they were coming.
What is it, a shoulder or something?
It was ribs. He had a rib issue.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The rib was about 3 weeks prior to the last time we played them. So it was probably still affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been a couple months, so he's past that. I did notice this. He didn't run much in the game against the Eagles.
No, you probably see a little bit more of that this one.
Yeah, he ran a lot more this past week. And it seems like he's gotten that part of his game back. I think this will be... I think it'll be more of a challenge than last time we played them. Last time we played them, it was kind of close for a little while, but you kind of felt the Eagles were in control the whole time.
Yeah.
You live this life. Playing a good team in your division a second time.
It's hard to beat them, man.
Yeah, I mean, they it's like they have the book on you, and you got to change things up, and, you know, they're going to change things up. I'm looking forward to this one because this is the last real challenge of the regular season. They get through this team, and they're going to be 15-2 because they get the Cowboys after that, Giants after that, and that's why Hugh and I are still holding out hope for this one seed. Kyle has said goodbye to the one seed. I'm not ready to say goodbye yet. I mean, I get we're on light little life support here, but the Lions did lose this past Sunday, and they are banged up. And there is a chance this thing goes out the right way, that we still get the one. It's not over. Not over yet.
Is there any conceivable, because what the three-way tiebreaker is the strength of victory, and there's no conceivable way we can win that now, even with the Lions having lost to the Bills and us just beating the Steelers, like that hasn't changed at all. I'm just, this is my coping.
Yeah, so the strength of victory is a problem for us because though they have victories over the, like the fact that the Packers have 10 wins, those are big.
And they have 2 wins over the Packers.
Yeah, those are big ones for the Lions and the Vikings, right? If the Vikings beat the Packers, they've all beat the Packers this season. I think they have 3 combined wins, those 2 teams over the Packers. Our division, no, we have one good team, right? The Commanders, but those wins over the Giants and Cowboys at the end, they're not going to help for that tiebreaker because those teams don't have many wins.
That damn Falcons loss, man.
Man, that hurt us. That's the one that, you know, when it happened, we didn't know how it was going to hurt us, but now we're starting to figure it out. That's crazy.
So let me give you
Saquon
the update.
Catches that,
yeah,
that
well, you're right about that. Let me give you the updated odds for the number one overall seed in each conference. So the Lions are still the favorite right now to get the one seed. Hewitt's minus 115 Lions. The Eagles are at plus 150. So it's not a huge gap. It's not, I wouldn't call it a big long shot. It's very possible the Eagles take this, but the Lions are still the favorite over at FanDuel to get the one seed in the NFC. So I think for all the reasons we just stated, the schedule, when the losses have to come, Lions still the favorite, but Eagles right on their heels. Let's go to Lee, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how you doing, Hugh and Joe?
Hey, Lee, what's up, buddy?
Just listening to you guys talk about the best defense. I was there, like Joe, you said you weren't there to watch the 91 defense. I've been a fan since the late 70s. And to see them play in 91, you knew when they came on the field, the other team didn't have a chance. This defense we have now has the pleasure of having an offense way better than we had, even with Randall and the others back there. We went 3-and-out in 91 a lot. The defense stepped it up. They kept the score low. We didn't score points, but we still were always in the game with that defense.
And a lot of takeaways, Lee. I mean, an incredible amount of interceptions that 91 team had. Hey, look, I understand how great they were. I mean, 3 first-team All-Pros, 2 second-team All-Pros. Let me ask you this, Lee, because you've seen a lot. Is this the best since 91?
I'm going to say probably yes. We had the pleasure of the real good offense back in the Super Bowl year, but they're still young, and they have a lot of promise, and as good as they're playing, they can only get better from here on out, and yes, they're really they're impressing me, yes.
Yeah, it'd be great. And it's just getting better and better and better. Lee, good phone call. That's the part here that's so impressive, that the first 4 weeks, they were not a good defense. And
no,
since then, they've been great.
Yeah, and they've been playing better, man. And that's what you see. They're fast. You know, it's the one thing that this defense, they're fast and they're playing smart. And that's huge when you have a defense that can move the way that they move and have the linebackers playing the way that they're playing, mm-hmm. playing downhill and not having to be out there thinking a whole lot. It just makes playing football so much easier.
It does. All right, before we go any further, we'll get right back to the phone calls. Can we get to a little What If Wednesday sponsored by Popeyes? It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
What If Wednesday here on the Midday Show, and you know, there's been a trend lately, and we talked about it a little bit earlier with Deion Sanders, of course, from Jackson State, to now what he's become in Colorado, just an incredible force in the college football world. And now we get news: Michael Vick to Norfolk State.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a really cool thing, and it's obviously great for that area. He's from, you know, that area in Virginia, so we'll see if he could have a Deion kind of rise in college football. But it got us thinking: what if? What if Hugh Douglas is the next one? What if Hugh Douglas became a college football coach?
You know, it's funny. And this happened last year. It was just like somebody asked, would I mind throwing my name in a hat for a coaching job? And, you know, I remember talking to it. I talked about it with Ike. And Ike was like, fool, you better throw your name in a hat. Ain't no telling, you know, what could happen. So obviously I didn't get the job, but the thought about it, if I became a college football coach, man, I like knowing me, there'd be a lot of barriers that I would have to overcome as a coach. Like, I'm not that social. I know it might not sound that way because we do this show every day, but the older I've gotten, the harder it is for me to be in a social setting and interact, because I'm more reserved off the air as opposed to be when I'm out in public.
So you think you'd struggle to recruit a little bit?
The recruiting game would struggle. The social skills, as far as the media concerned, that would struggle. That would be
we'd crush you. Those clips after the game.
That would be a problem. And thanks a lot, Kyle. And I would have to get some really good coaches.
Well, so let's kind of map this out. Like, let's just say it happens, right? Like, Norfolk State came after Mike Vick. There could be a college in this area listening right now, an AD listening, says, you know what? We need our own.
It all depends on what school it is, though.
All right, let's say it's a local school. So you can still, you don't have to move, just any kind of new place and all that. Like, I don't know, Temple, Delaware.
Temple.
Yeah.
Delaware, the Blue Hens?
Yeah.
I think, aren't the Blue Hens pretty good this year?
They might be. I'm not trying to take away
anybody's
job.
No, I know, nobody's job.
It's just hypothetical.
Because I know Temple fired their coach.
Hypothetical. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they fired their coach.
So Temple calls, and they say, Hugh, we think you're a galvanizer. You're a program saver. We want to bring you in here, and you get to assemble whatever staff you want. Hugh, I think you should start mapping this out.
Yeah, I would definitely. I would try to source the people that I'm close to and get some of the best minds that I know that will, help me on my journey to become a head coach.
All right, so I'm going to write this down.
Hold on.
What do you mean? What do you got?
Here's your biggest problem, Hugh.
What's that?
You're going to pull an Urban Meyer and
what do you
stay
mean?
Back instead of taking the team playing and hang at the bar.
Oh, no, I'm not about to have no little bitty sitting on my lap. I can't do that.
Sure you are.
I'm not going to go out like that, man. I'm not going to do that. I would.
So you're the head coach.
I'm the head coach.
Who do you got, you think, in your Rolodex to be the OC?
Offensive coordinator?
Yeah, who's calling the
plays? Now, that's a tough one. I don't know, because I want John Ritchie on the staff, but I don't know if he would be the OC. Because John Ritchie is kind of verbose in his conversation, and he uses words that, I don't want to confuse the kids a lot of times.
This is really.
John is really. So I probably would have to see. I know Pat Shurmur. That's one of the names that came to mind. He's the offensive coordinator of Colorado, though.
Oh, that'd be a big headline if you steal Deion's coordinator.
I don't think he's leaving Colorado.
No, then you pay enough.
That's the thing.
No, I like this.
We're going to Temple.
All right, so let's go to Pat. She's stealing Pat Shurmur from Deion. When are you going with DC?
I'll probably ask Seth.
Oh, now
that would be great.
This is a good staff. Seth might be able to win with this staff.
Linebackers coach, I would ask Ike.
Okay.
But see, Ike's wishy-washy, man. I didn't know Ike. The first question out of Ike's mind, how much am I getting paid? Like, Ike wants to get paid. I would probably ask Ike if he – I have to get people that are kind of closer to the game than I am, because I'm kind of a little bit further removed. Yeah. So I need somebody that's in the game.
Okay.
So probably ask Ike. B. West, but B. West lives in – I'm thinking about all these coaches, but at the same time, I'm thinking why it might be a little bit of a...
Well, that's on them to decline it. You got to make the offer.
Yeah, okay. Well, B. West.
Okay, B. West.
B. West be running backs coach.
I'm just...
Hollis would definitely be the D-line coach.
Okay.
As long as we just got to keep Hollis focused.
Nah, he might be the one to get Urban Meyer.
Hollis might be the one. Make sure Hollis ain't hanging out with the D line after hours.
Yeah, he's trouble. So I haven't noticed so far, Kyle. That I haven't heard our names like as part of the staff.
Well, see, because you would be Joe. Y'all have to be in position because let's be honest.
Quality. I can do quality control.
Yeah, because you're gonna have to keep us out of trouble. So you're probably gonna be the quality control guy.
I'll be your PR guy.
No, you know who Kyle's going to be? You know the job I'm going to give Kyle? Strength and conditioning.
All right.
As an example of what not to do?
Yes.
No.
Whatever Kyle, his regimen is, do the opposite.
I'm going to get Kyle. Could you imagine Kyle in there yelling at the kids? Come on!
Screaming
at
him.
You never make it to the pros that way.
Like me getting in between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Carter.
It would be fun. That would be fun, though, man. The coach Temple has some pretty good facilities, too. Like, I haven't been there in a while, but their field house, a really nice field. Now, it's in the hood. And, that'd be something a little different. But I wouldn't have to go that far to get to work every day.
All right, so let's map this out. You got Hugh, head coach, Pat Shurmur, OC, after we steal him from Deion, Seth Joyner, Ike, Hollis.
We still need some more coaches.
We do. Quality control is
me. We need a receivers coach.
Strength and conditioning is Kyle. First year, what's your ballpark the win total?
How many wins did Temple have last year? Like three?
Not many.
I think we could, what's our conference? The ACC? Not the ACC, the AAC or something like that? American Coast Conference or something?
What's your win total? I need a guarantee that when you get this job, you turn this program around quickly.
We got what? That's 13 games? I'll give us 6 wins. I can give us 6 wins in the first season.
One question.
Wins.
Do you think you could get T.O. to be your wide receivers coach?
I would. You know what? Yes, I do. I do.
Round two?
No, see.
So
no.
Temple was 3-9 this year.
That's
overall.
What I'm saying. I think I get you 6 wins.
3-9.
I think I get Temple 6 wins. 2-6
in the conference. We got Army, Tulane, Navy. Hugh, I don't know if you're getting 6 wins year one.
Yeah, I can get 6 wins in year one, man.
All right.
Who's my quarterback?
Because
I got to go in the transfer portal. And listen, since I'm getting excited about the job, alumni.
Excited about the
Temple
job.
Temple alumni. Yeah, like I'm getting the job. I need y'all to step up big for me, man. And what I'm talking about is that NIL money. Because I'm hitting the transfer portal hard, and I'm going to get a quarterback. Arch Manning.
You think Temple's got the money for Arch Manning over at Texas?
Hey, Arch Manning. I'm trying to get Arch. Because there's a little bit. We were talking about it yesterday. There's something going on down there in Texas.
All right, I'll tell you this. If you get Arch and this staff, we might win 4 or 5 or 6 games.
Or who's the other quarterback? Cam Rising.
Cam Rising's still in college. He's only 28 now. Yeah, he's still
not kicking. Cam Rising.
Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers. Somebody got to go. So we got to, listen. We got to come up big with that NIL money. So I'm going to need Temple alumni, if y'all listening. Y'all need to dig into y'all coffers. I need that quarterback. If I get a quarterback, we got a shot.
I like how this started as a joke, and now Hugh's selling it now.
Let me see. I don't even know how to get in the transfer portal, but I'm like, let me look at the transfer portal.
I don't think you can access it right now.
No, I can't. I don't have that kind of access.
You just Google's transfer portal.
Yeah, you know what, Kyle? That's what I did. I Googled transfer portal.
Well, I know the Penn State quarterback just up and left the team.
He did.
Yeah, the backup.
Because of the money wasn't right.
Well, he's going to play for Hugh over at Temple. All right, 215-592-9494. We've got a lot to get to. Next hour, we'll get to all your phone calls here. Is this the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? Your take on Hugh as a college football coach. I think it would be great theater for a year, and then you'd be up and fired really fast.
Not fast.
Yeah, no.
Probably fast. A few bad press conferences. And then when you had to do the meet and greet, that'd probably be a little rough.
Because it's local, we're still doing the show, right? It's like Doug Gottlieb, because he's coaching college basketball and doing a national show.
We still do a show.
Okay.
I call in every Thursday, Friday.
No, you got to be here.
I got to work, too.
Yeah, schedule your practices after.
Yeah.
I could see Hugh having some John Chaney moments at his pressers.
that'd be bad.
Be wild. All right, Elliot joins us on the other side. Your call is in the final hour. We have a Phillies update later on, and we need to address a WIP employee that probably should have been arrested last night. That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio, WIP, FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, has all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, check out the newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after already tipped off, you could pick up a W whenever. Now is the perfect time to get in on the action. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 of bonus bets if your first bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Why do I feel like this has something to do with me?
It actually does. I think this is about Kyle. This is about Kyle. All right, welcome back to the show.
Okay.
Douglas, Joe Gilio.
I'm a little nervous over here.
Well, we could, but there is actually something to be nervous about, but this is not about you. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard. So, a little Amazing Grace here. I think Kyle is ready to say goodbye to the one seed. Hugh, we got a new wrinkle on this. So we know the scenario, right? We need the Vikings and the Lions to lose a game, and the Eagles went out, and then, of course, the Eagles could be the number one seed. That's what we've been told, and that's what we've been going off of since Sunday, right? That's very simple. Eagles, Lions, and Vikings each lose a game, Hugh, and then we get ourselves the number one seed if we went out. But there's another element to this now, Hugh. You ready for this?
I'm listening.
It matters when they lose. Let me play it out for you. Let's say the Vikings drop one of their next two. They're in Seattle. They host Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the Lions win their next two, and they're favored in their next two games. They play Chicago. Leave your Bears take on hold for a second. Mm-hmm. They play Chicago. They play San Francisco. Technically, before we got this new news I'm about to bring to you, if Minnesota had then beat Detroit the last week, well, that would have taken care of, right? Each team would have lost the game.
Yes.
But here's the wrinkle that no one had brought up until I saw this last night. If it plays out the way I just said, Minnesota drops one of their next two, Detroit wins their next two. Guess what is over before week 18?
The number one seed?
The division.
Oh, the division's
so
over.
So Detroit will have clinched the division, which means, if you think about it logically, why would Minnesota play their players in week 18? They have to play They're going to play a wild card game the next week anyway. So they'd basically then just lay down, play their backups. The Lions would roll to the win and get the number one seed. We need the Lions to lose one of their next two games. That really is the path. We need a loss to the Bears or the 49ers. Otherwise, this thing is probably not going to work out the way we want it to.
So you're with me now. So y'all, okay, wait a minute. Y'all need to apologize. For ridiculing me yesterday. For me, basically working myself into a tizzy to back the Bears, and y'all laughed at me.
Still a major problem.
We want you to be right on this, but your take was it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. You got to believe it. I believe in speaking stuff into existence, and you have to believe it. We were almost there until I got Eberflused. 30 seconds left on the clock. Yeah. Eberflused.
That's your fault for not factoring in the flusing, though.
Yeah. The flusing. You got factor the flusing in.
You got flused on national TV.
The dream is dead. That's why I'm playing this music.
You're giving up hope on the one seed?
Yeah, it's over.
No, did you hear what Caleb Williams says? He said, it's disappointing, but it's yet exciting. They haven't given up.
Yes, they have.
He was laying on the bench on Monday.
Kidding me?
No, he was, because he knew that fight was over before it even got started.
They might be one of the worst body language teams I've ever seen. No, it doesn't.
Springs Eternal.
It doesn't. If you watch them in that game against the Vikings, every time, they got them into a few third and 14s, gave them up every time, and you just saw Bears players in the secondary just putting their hands up. You're like, this thing is over.
It's a good chance they're on vacation. They're getting ready to go. But let me
tell you.
Feels like they quit.
The rallying cry is to be spoiler. Be a spoiler.
They don't care.
In this situation.
They're ready to not get injured and go home.
That's not there yet. That's the last week of the season.
No.
You play not to get injured the last week of the season. Trust me on this. I've been in that situation.
Hughes lived this life.
slow down, player. Why are you playing so hard? Slow down, player. You ain't going so hard.
I mean, our hopes are in the Chicago Bears.
And the 49ers.
And the Niners, who may not have anything to play for their week.
Well, that's the other element of this. Unless you're
49ers might pull it off.
All right, so here's the deal. Since you got floosed on Thanksgiving, Hugh.
The Bears
have been outscored 68-30. All right, so 68-25. 68-25. And you're trying to sit here telling me they're going to pull off an upset on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. If that doesn't work out, our next hope is the Niners next week. Now, they could be alive and playing for a lot, or they also could be eliminated. And in that case, I'm not as optimistic. So I'm not quite where Kyle is. I haven't given up on the dream of the one. Mm. It's become more complicated, and I wish I had any faith in your Bears, Hugh. I mean,
this is what usually happens when you don't control your destiny. Mm. I mean, it's okay. You know, you went out there, and you did everything that you could, but it's a lot of stuff that has to happen. And it starts with the Chicago Bears.
You can't even say it with a straight face. They stink.
I'm saying it. It starts with the Chicago Bears, man. I wish I knew somebody at the Bears and be like, yo, dog, y'all got to get this done this weekend.
Don't know nobody. The sad thing is there's no There's no other lever for them to pull that gives them a spark.
Chicago, you mean?
Yeah, the firing of the head coach.
There's no lever to pull. Yeah.
Well, there's not. Like, you know, you might
pride.
Get a...
Pride!
Stop it.
Pride!
There's no pride there. They might get a little bit of a boost for 1 week when they have the interim head coach.
Yep.
Or even, like, they're not going to bench Caleb Williams, so that's not a spark really for them either. It's
over. The interim head coach might be worse, actually.
Yeah.
They've been getting crushed.
So the sooner you guys break over to the other side and get with me on this, I think the better it'll be for your...
No, I refuse, man. I'm going to go ahead and put this last $5 on the Bears. Pull this thing off.
Yo, I wouldn't do that. I mean, this is
I'm put it on
it's
money
real
line.
Money. It's real
money line.
Real American
I'm gonna do
money.
It. I'm gonna do it.
All right.
No, I probably won't do that.
Yeah.
I probably put a dollar on it. I'm gonna do it. But I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is.
There's nothing like a whole dollar bet on the money line
dollar.
In an NFL
on
game.
On the money line, baby.
All right. 215-592-9494. So that's the scenario. We really need Detroit to lose before the final game. If they win their next two, Minnesota drops one of the next two, the North is over, which obviously means Minnesota's not going to play in that last game. They're going to rest their starters, their quarterback, Justin Jefferson, blah, blah, blah. And Detroit's just going to roll in that final game and take the one seed. So we need Detroit to lose soon, like this weekend, to the Bears, which only Hugh believes will happen, or the Niners next week, which is
I think it can happen.
A little more plausible. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, we're going to get to a what if. We got an interesting what if Wednesday cooked up for in a few minutes. First, let's go back to the phone lines here. And how about the poll today? This caught my attention because this is split right down the middle. Is this the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? 52% no. 48% yes. 52% no, 48% yes.
That's not split down the middle.
It was 50-50 a few minutes ago.
No, not now.
Well, hold on. 52-48 is pretty close to the middle.
No, but when I said it's not close, but when you said it's close.
Well, hold on. When they do the poll, you know, the polling every 4 years, national polling, like with the presidential election, all that.
Yeah.
They do like a 3 or 4% margin of error. Like if it's
okay, so that's what it is.
Yeah, so if it's within 3 or 4%,
I give you that.
It could go either way.
I mean, give you that spin doctor. You the spin doctor today, though, but it's cool.
Well, because I'm not winning right now. Will in the Northeast, what's up, Will?
Well, hello,
Will.
What's up, Will?
How y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up, buddy?
Oh man, nothing. Dream team. Listen, man. I think I see a lot of similarity to when Jim Johnson was coaching, man. Like, he got everybody, he will let up real quick. He got everybody on deck, man. And, like, these guys is really tuned in, man. And I just think, like, this is a great defense, man. I'm not going to say it's the best, but it's right next to it, man. If you and them number one, then they'll be number two, man. Because these young boys, and that's real quick, you know, come on, you gotta rock with the Thundercats, man. Come on, baby.
Come on, you.
Wait a minute. When did I stop?
Well, you started to tell everyone it didn't matter. It was a luxury.
Wait a minute, defense is not a it's a luxury, not a necessity.
No.
It was. What do you think? I'm not going out without a fight.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
They're the best defense in the league.
I still like them, but nah, I mean, they're playing well.
You think this team will be 12-2 with just an ordinary defense?
They're playing well.
Yeah, but what a cop-out over here. This guy is ridiculous.
But I just want to say, man, I think Sunday, I think we need to bring, like, the same type of energy. But I think they studied them tapes very well, man. And they're going to come with something different, and they're going to look for something different from us, man. So let us be on point with that. Let us, you know, have a different plan than the last time we played them. But, you know, put a little bit of the old in there. And let's get another win, man.
Let's do it, Will. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's interesting. This the second time facing the Commanders here, when we had Seth on, the way he framed it is it'll be more of a challenge. And Jaden Daniels looks healthier. Because last time we faced them, it was that short week game. And
yeah,
they were coming.
And what is it, a shoulder or something?
It was ribs. He had a rib issue.
Yeah, that's what it was. Ribs.
The rib was about 3 weeks prior to the last time we played them. So it was probably still affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been a couple months. So he's past that. I did notice this. He didn't run much in the game against the Eagles.
No, you probably see a little bit more of that this one.
Yeah, he ran a lot more this past week. And it seems like he's gotten that part of his game back. I think this will be... I think it'll be more of a challenge than last time we played them. Last time we played them, it was kind of close for a little while, but you kind of felt the Eagles were in control the whole time.
Yeah.
You live this life. Playing a good team in your division a second time.
It's hard to beat them, man.
Yeah, I mean, they it's like they have the book on you, and you got to change things up, and you know they're going to change things up. I'm looking forward to this one because this is the last real challenge of the regular season. They get through this team, and they're going to be 15-2 because they get the Cowboys after that, Giants after that, and that's why Hugh and I are still holding out hope for this one seed. Kyle has said goodbye to the one seed. I'm not ready to say goodbye yet. I mean, I get we're on light little life support here, but the Lions did lose this past Sunday, and they are banged up. And there is a chance this thing goes out the right way, that we still get the one. It's not over. Not over yet.
Is there any conceivable, because what the three-way tiebreaker is the strength of victory, and there's no conceivable way we can win that now, even with the Lions having lost to the Bills and us just beating the Steelers, like that hasn't changed at all. This is my coping.
Yeah, so the strength of victory is a problem for us because though they have victories over the fact that the Packers have 10 wins, those are big.
And they have 2 wins over the Packers.
Yeah, those are big ones for the Lions and the Vikings, right? Yeah. If the Vikings beat the Packers, they've all beat the Packers this season. I think they have 3 combined wins, those 2 teams, over the Packers. Our division, no, we have 1 good team, right? The Commanders, but those wins over the Giants and Cowboys at the end, they're not going to help for that tiebreaker because those teams don't have many wins.
That damn Falcons loss, man.
Man, that hurt us. That's the one that, you know when it happened? We didn't know how it was going to hurt us, but now we're starting to figure it out. That's crazy.
So let me give you
Saquon
the update.
Catches that,
yeah, that well, you're right about that. Let me give you the updated odds for the number 1 overall seed in each conference. So the Lions are still the favorite right now to get the 1 seed. Here it's -115 Lions. The Eagles are at +150. So it's not a huge gap. It's not, I wouldn't call it a big long shot. It's very possible the Eagles take this, but the Lions are still the favorite over at FanDuel to get the 1 seed in the NFC. So I think for all the reasons we just stated, the schedule, when the losses have to come, Lions still the favorite, but Eagles right on their heels. Let's go to Lee, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how you doing, Hugh and Joe?
Hey, Lee, what's up, buddy?
Just listening to you guys talk about the best defense. I was there, like Joe, you said you weren't there to watch the 91 defense. I've been a fan since the late 70s. And to see them play in 91, you knew when they came on the field, the other team didn't have a chance. This defense we have now has the pleasure of having an offense way better than we had, even with Randall and the others back there. We went 3-and-out in 91 a lot.
Mm.
The defense stepped it up. They kept the score low. We didn't score points, but we still were always in the game with that defense.
And a lot of takeaways, Lee. I mean, an incredible amount of interceptions that 91 team had. Hey, look, I understand how great they were. I mean, 3 first-team All-Pros, 2 second-team All-Pros. Let me ask you this, Lee, because you've seen a lot. Is this the best since 91?
I'm going to say probably yes. We had the pleasure of the real good offense back in the Super Bowl year, but they're still young, and they have a lot of promise, and as good as they're playing, they can only get better from here on out, and yes, they're really, they're impressing me, yes.
Yeah, it'd be great, and it's just getting better and better and better. Lee, good phone call. That's the part, Hugh, that's so impressive, that the first 4 weeks, they were not a good defense, and since then, they've been great.
Yeah, and they've been playing better, man, and that's what you see, they're fast. You know, it's the one thing that this defense, they're fast and they're playing smart. And that's huge when you have a defense that can move the way that they move and have the linebackers playing the way that they're playing, mm-hmm. playing downhill and not having to be out there thinking a whole lot. It just makes playing football so much easier.
It does. All right, before we go any further, we'll get right back to the phone calls. Can we get to a little What If Wednesday sponsored by Popeyes? It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
Hi, it's a What If Wednesday here on the Midday Show. And, you know, there's been a trend lately, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, with Deion Sanders, of course, from Jackson State, to now what he's become in Colorado, just an incredible force in the college football world. And now we get news, Michael Vick to Norfolk State.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a really cool thing. And it's obviously great for that area. He's from, you know, that area in Virginia. So we'll see if he could have a Deion kind of rise in college football. But it got us thinking, what if Hugh Douglas is the next one? What if Hugh Douglas became a college football coach?
You know what's funny? And this happened last year. It was just like somebody asked, would I mind throwing my name in a hat for a coaching job? And, you know, I remember talking to it. I talked about it with Ike. And Ike was like, fool, you better throw your name in the hat. Ain't no telling, you know, what could happen. So obviously I didn't get the job, but the thought about it, if I became a college football coach, man, I like knowing me, there'd be a lot of barriers that I would have to overcome as a coach. Like, I'm not that social. I know it might not sound that way because we do this show every day, but the older I've gotten, the harder it is for me to be in a social setting and interact, because I'm more reserved off the air as opposed to when I'm out in public.
So you think you'd struggle to recruit a little bit?
The recruiting game would struggle. The social skills, as far as the media concerned, that would struggle. That would be a
disaster.
Oh, we'd crush
you. I mean, those clips after the game.
That would be a problem. And thanks a lot, Kyle. And I would have to get some really good coaches.
Well, so let's kind of map this out. Like, let's just say it happens, right? Like, Norfolk State came after Mike Vick. There could be a college in this area listening right now, an AD listening and says, you know what? We need our own.
It all depends on what school it is, though.
All right, let's say it's a local school. So you can still, you don't have to move. You just need a new place and all that. Like, I don't know, Temple, Delaware.
Temple.
Yeah.
Delaware, the Blue Hens?
Yeah.
I think, aren't the Blue Hens pretty good this year?
They might be. I'm not trying to take away
anybody's
job.
No, but I'm just saying.
It's just hypothetical.
Because I know Temple fired their coach.
Hypothetical. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they fired their coach.
So Temple calls, and they say, Hugh, we think you're a galvanizer. You're a program saver. We want to bring you in here, and you get to assemble whatever staff you want. Hugh, I think you should start mapping this out.
Yeah, I would definitely. I would try to source the people that I'm close to and get some of the best minds that I know that will, you know, help me on my journey to become a head coach.
All right, so I'm going to write this down.
Hold on.
What do you mean? What do you got?
Here's your biggest problem, Hugh.
What's that?
You're going to pull an Urban Meyer and
what do you mean?
Stay back. Instead of taking the team playing and hanging at the bar.
Oh, no, I'm not about to have no little bitty sitting on my lap. I can't do that.
Sure you are.
I'm not going to go out like that, man. I'm not going to do that. I would.
So you're the head coach.
I'm the head coach.
Who do you got, you think, in your Rolodex to be the OC?
Offensive coordinator?
Yeah, who's calling the
plays? Now, that's a tough one. I don't know, because I want John Ritchie on the staff, but I don't know if he would be the OC. Because John Ritchie is kind of verbose in his conversation, and he uses words that, you know, I don't want to confuse the kids a lot of times. John is really. So I probably would have to see. I know Pat Shurmur. That's one of the names that came to mind. He's the offensive coordinator of Colorado, though.
Oh, that'd be a big headline if you steal Dion's coordinator.
I don't think he's leaving Colorado.
No, you pay enough.
That's the thing.
No, I like this.
We're going to Temple.
All right, so let's go to Pat. She's stealing Pat Shurmur from Dion. What are you going with, DC?
I'll probably ask Seth.
Oh, now
that would be great.
This is a good staff.
You actually might
be able to win with this staff.
Linebackers coach, I would ask Ike.
Okay.
But see, Ike's wishy-washy, man. I didn't know Ike. The first question out of Ike's mind, how much am I getting paid? Like, Ike wants to get paid. I would probably ask Ike I have to get people that are kind of closer to the game than I am, because I'm kind of a little bit further removed. So yeah. I need somebody that's in the game.
Okay.
So probably ask Ike. B. West, but B. West lives in. I'm thinking about all these coaches, but at the same time, I'm thinking why it might be a little bit of a.
Well, that's on them to decline it. You got to make the offer.
Yeah, okay. Well, B. West.
Okay, B. West.
B. West be running backs coach. Hollis would definitely be the D-line coach.
Okay.
As long as we just got to keep Hollis focused.
Now, he might be the one to get Urban Meyer.
Hollis might be the one. Make sure Hollis ain't hanging out with the D-line after hours.
Yeah, he's trouble. So, you know, I haven't noticed so far, Kyle, that I haven't heard our names, like, as part of the staff.
Well, see, because you would be, Joe, y'all have to be in position, because let's be honest.
I can do quality control.
Yeah, because you're going to have to keep us out of trouble. So you're probably going to be the quality control guy.
I'll be your PR guy.
No, you know who Kyle's going to be? You know the job I'm going to give Kyle? Strength and conditioning.
All right.
As an example of what not to do?
Yes.
No.
Whatever his regimen is, do the opposite.
I'm going to get Kyle. Could you imagine Kyle in there yelling at the kids? Come on!
Screaming
what are you
at
doing?
Him.
You never make it to the pros that way.
Like me getting in between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Carter.
It would be fun. That would be fun, though, man. The coach Temple has some pretty good facilities, too. Like, I haven't been there in a while, but their field house, that really nice field. Now, it's in the hood. And, you know, that'd be something a little different. But I wouldn't have to go that far to get to work every day.
All right, so let's map this out. You got Hugh, head coach, Pat Shurmur, OC, after we steal him from Dion, Seth Joyner, Ike, Hollis.
We still need some more coaches.
We do. Quality control is me.
We need a receivers coach.
Strength and conditioning is Kyle. First year, what's your ballpark the win total?
How many wins did Temple have last year? Like three?
Not many.
I think we could. What's our conference? The ACC? Not the ACC. The AAC or something like that? American Coast Conference or something?
What's your win total? I need a guarantee that when you get this job, you turn this program around quickly.
We got what? That's 13 games? I'll give us six wins. I can give us six wins in the first season.
One
six
question.
Wins.
Do you think you could get T.O. to be your wide receivers coach?
I would. You know what? Yes, I do. I do.
Round two?
No, see.
So no. Temple was 3-9 this year.
That's
overall.
What I'm saying. I think I get you six wins.
3-9.
I think I get Temple six wins.
2-6 in the conference. We got Army, Tulane, Navy. Hugh, I don't know if you're getting six wins year one.
Yeah, I can get six wins in year one, man.
All right.
Who's my quarterback?
That's on you. I mean,
because I got to go in the transfer portal. And listen, since I'm getting excited about the job, alumni.
Excited about the job.
Temple alumni. Yeah, like I'm getting the job. I need y'all to step up big for me, man. And what I'm talking about is that NIL money. Because I'm hitting the transfer portal hard, and I'm going to get a quarterback. Arch Manning.
You think Temple's got the money for Arch Manning out over at Texas?
Hey, Arch Manning. I'm trying to get Arch. Because there's a little bit. We were talking about it yesterday. There's something going on down there in Texas.
All right, I'll tell you this. If you get Arch and this staff, we might win four or five or six games.
Or who's the other quarterback? Not Cam Rising.
Cam Rising's still in the college. He's only like 28 now. Yeah, he's
still not kicking. Cam Rising. But,
Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers. Somebody got to go. So we got to, we got to come up big with that NIL money. So I'm gonna need Temple alumni, if y'all listening. Y'all need to dig into y'all coffers. I need that quarterback. If I get a quarterback, we got a shot.
I like how this started as a joke, and now Hugh's like selling it now. Like let me
see. I don't even know how to get in the transfer portal, but I'm like, let me look at the transfer portal.
I don't think you can access it right now.
No, I can't. I don't have that kind of access.
You just Google's transfer portal.
Yeah, you know what, Kyle? That's what I did. I Googled transfer portal.
Well, I know the Penn State quarterback just up and left the team.
He did.
Yeah, the backup.
Because of the bread. The money wasn't right.
Well, he's going to play for Hugh over at Temple. All right, 215-592-9490. We've got a lot to get to. Next hour, we'll get to all your phone calls here. Is this the best Eagles defense you've ever seen? Your take on Hugh as a college football coach. I think it would be great theater for a year, and then you'd be up and fired really fast.
Not fast.
Yeah, no.
Probably fast. A few bad press conferences. And then when you had to do the meet and greet, that'd probably be a little rough.
Because it's local, we're still doing the show, right? It's like Doug Gottlieb, because he's coaching college basketball and doing a national show.
We still do a show.
Okay.
I call in every Thursday, Friday.
No, you got to be here.
I got to work, too.
Yeah, you schedule your practices after.
Yeah.
I see Hugh having like some John Chaney moments at his pressers.
that'd be
wild. All right, Elliot joins us on the other side. Your call is in the final hour. We have a Phillies update later on, and we need to address a WIP employee that probably should have been arrested last night. That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio, WIP, FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, has all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, check out the newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after already tipped off, you could pick up a W whenever. Now is the perfect time to get in on the action. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.